Thank you. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2077, Joy Marshall Ortiz.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a campground to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 4.199 acres more or less. The property is located on the north side of Cordery Road, approximately 800 feet west of Streets Road. The 911 address is not available, and it is the tax district is District 234, Map 28, Parcel 5604. We did receive an exhibit booklet, a site plan. We did receive comments from the engineering noting that it was going to be an on-site well. We received comments from DLDOT regarding the service level evaluation, and they did not require a TIS. And there's also a staff analysis for your consideration. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application this evening? Okay, if you would, come up to the podium, please, and give us your name.
My name is Joy Ortiz. I live in Herndon, Virginia.
Well, welcome to Sussex County, Delaware.
Thank you.
All the way from Herndon.
Pleased to be here.
Okay, well, we're very pleased to have you. I'm sure you heard what our director read into the record on your behalf. Do you have any other comments you would like to make?
I was just going to go through the presentation that I put together, if that's applicable.
Sure, that would be delightful. Proceed.
All righty. So just a little bit about the property and the history of the property. It's part of a Street family farm that was, my mom is part of that family, and she still owns the property that we're questioning right now. We're suggesting that we get a conditional use permit. Our project goals are really simply to create a community, a campground community with minimal impact on the environment. Of course, the current zoning is AR1. By right, we would be allowed 3/4-acre lots, so 5 lots would be allowed if we were to subdivide it, but we really don't want to do that. At an average home of 2,500 square feet, the total building square footage would be 12,500 square feet. What we're suggesting is a tiny home campground of approximately 10 to 15 units is what I put on the application. But as we went through and did some conceptual designs, we came up with 12 homes with a gazebo, a total square footage of approximately 3,250 square feet, which is less than 2 homes would be. This is the site plan as you see it. There's currently a 50-foot ingress egress easement here with a cul-de-sac turnaround. The property is 4.19 acres, and it's surrounded by other property that was part of the family heirs, and still quite a few of my cousins own the property. This was originally part of our package. It's just very conceptual, which we submitted back in December. We are suggesting that we would bring traffic down the 50-foot egress easement, and then we would have a overflow parking area. We would not be taking the traffic into the site. That would be a walk-in. This is just an aerial view showing the property, and you can see there's really not too much around there. We took some photographs of it. You can see, it's very rural there, and we still want to keep it that way. We've come up with this concept of tiny homes. Again, the idea is that we bring them in and we build them off-site and bring them in, so there's really little disturbance to people around. Even though I'm from Herndon, I spent a lot of time in Millsboro. That's where we did our summer vacation. So it's kind of, how do we get back here? And this is what we'd like to do. These are just architectural renderings. There's not supposed to be, it's not the final design. It's only concepts that we would have different tiny homes where people could rent them, you know, for the weekend, for the week, for the month. To come visit the beach or what have you. Our concept again is that we would build these tiny homes on trailers. We would bring them in again off-site. We're thinking to build out of SIPS panels, structural insulated panels. Again, keeping the size between 200, 250 square feet. Again, not the final design, but with these SIPS panels, we could put vinyl siding, we could have wood cedar siding. What we don't want is for each one to be, we don't want 12 tiny homes to look exactly alike, but we want them to look like they're part of a community. Again, the concept is that, you know, as an individual, you could enjoy it, as a group, you could enjoy it, a group of friends, Girl Scouts, you know, people just coming to visit. And even if you didn't know the neighbor, that we want to create this community environment with some fire pits and just some outdoor areas where people could gather around. This, again, is just a little concept of a gazebo where maybe you could have movies or listen to music at night or have a cookout. And what we want to do is we're thinking green. We want to be a good neighbor, and we want to have the minimum impact on the environment. So we're looking at things like solar energy, composting toilets. We know that we will have some type of a septic system, but again, to lessen the impact of the septic system, we're looking at composting toilets and gray water, solar energy, and we see this little community supporting people that, you know, go to Rehoboth Beach like we did and our family did. And the kids at the Sports on the Beach that we spent many summers at with our son. And just family and the powwow. And we thank you. And if you have any questions, technical or general, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Well, we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Hopkins.
So these tiny homes, I've seen a couple of times on TV them building the tiny homes.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't delved into it much at all. But when you talk about a park or are you planning on? I did not perceive the tiny homes to be something that people like pull around to one spot this week and another spot next week, or are you planning on them being pretty much permanently in there?
We're pretty much planning them being permanent.
Okay, so you all are going to like buy them and put them in there and then rent them?
Right, we're going to buy them.
So it'll be like a permanent fixture there.
Right, but again, trying to limit the impact on the environment. Later we decide that's not the appropriate use, and we pull them out of there.
And you say in regard to your wastewater, according to that the rendition, is it your intent to have any kind of a central system back there, or are you just going to have those septic tanks that I'm assuming they need to be pumped?
What we're planning to do. And again, we haven't taken the design all the way because we want to get the approval prior to, but our concept was this big green area back here. We're anticipating that there will be some type of a septic field required, but to lessen the impact on that field, we would be trying to use composting toilets in the individual units, and we would be doing some recirculation of the gray water to, you know, the shower water, then maybe we're watering the plants with that so that everything's not being pumped into the septic system.
And the roadway, is that going to be a gravel or an asphalt?
It will not be asphalt. What we're looking at is like a crusher run, something that, you know, would absorb the water, and but no asphalt. And the same, you know, around the perimeter here, some type of pressure run or sand base, but no asphalt. And we're not anticipating that here would be the parking area, so once someone came there, they would park, and then they would walk into the site.
But there is going to, it appears there's going to be a, your crusher run driveway will go around that circle?
Yes, that's the plan.
Are you going to have like an office or something in there to handle business or deal with issues?
What we anticipate doing is one of the units would probably be for someone that's living there that would handle folks coming in and out. So it would be an office unit.
Resident assistant.
Exactly. Thank you.
How do you control, you know, noise and, you know, people making a, you know, partying hard?
Well, you know, just like any campground that, I mean, we've been to plenty of campgrounds as a family that you go to, and there, you know, there are rules and there's regulations, you know, quiet hours after, you know, I don't know what the time would be, but say 10 o'clock or maybe it's 11 on the weekends. So, you know, there would be a standard of how people need to act and what quiet hours are and, you know, what you do with your trash and...
So, and one of those units would be for that policing or monitoring?
That's what we're anticipating, yes.
I don't think I have any more questions.
Okay. You think of something later, we can always come back. Ms. Stevenson.
Okay. I do have some questions. Cool. all right. Just explain a couple things to me, because, so will the electric for these be supplied?
By the electric company.
Okay, so yeah. There will be an electric hookup. It won't just be, it's a sunny day, you can run your...
No. Okay. I mean, we anticipate that there will be the need for electricity, but we would also like to exercise solar resources to lessen, again, the impact on the environment and the home itself. But they're only 250 square feet, so...
I didn't know if maybe you were just going for a whole concept of we're going to be off grid and
we would absolutely love to go off grid, but that's, I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, maybe we will be able to figure out all the component parts to do that. But
well, if you do, please call my husband. He'd be very excited. so he's got this whole little house dream that.
Tell him, come on.
Anyway, okay. And then each unit would then have, of course, its own water, its own shower, its own toilet. Okay, but you'd be using the composting toilets and the gray water. Okay?
Exactly.
Are you planning to run this as a seasonal camp, or so that you would shut it down in, say, end of October, or would be year-round?
We're planning on year-round.
Is there a way that this would not become a little house trailer park?
I don't understand your question.
Well, if somebody decided, I'm just going to rent this for the rest of my life, and I'm going to live there, I mean, there's different zoning if somebody's coming to camp and if somebody's coming to move in forever. So
I guess we would have to work. I mean, if whatever the regulations are within the time frame that someone can stay, then we would definitely have to adhere to those regulations.
But you are planning to stay open year-round?
Yes. Okay. And we do see it, you know, that it could function year-round. I know the baseball at the beach, they play year-round, and people have to go down to Rehoboth to stay, or some people stay here. We were fortunate to stay with my folks, but they've since moved back to Virginia. So so we do see that, you know, people would maybe come here and, you know, year-round.
Okay. I'm sorry, back to one more little house question. You said they would stay on the wheels and chassis so that they could be mobile if at some point you want to change things around easily and that kind of thing.
That's what we're thinking. I mean, they would still be anchored down with hurricane anchors. They would definitely be anchored. And there is the possibility that my husband, who's an architect and with me as well, we'd also discuss the possibility of some of the units... actually, we could bring them in, slide them, and put them on post versus just on the wheels. But then again, it would be easy to move out because it wouldn't be a full foundation. But currently, the concept is they would stay on the wheels, we would anchor them.
Cool. Okay. Let's see. Our Hours, months, water, sewer, electric, signage, would you be wanting a sign to go with this? Announce where it was, because I drove up and down the road trying to figure out where
it was. We would have some type of sign, but it would not be a neon sign.
Right.
You know, it would be something low-key, but certainly where a patron could find the place without driving into other people's driveways.
That's all the questions I had. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Hudson.
Most of my questions were based on what they were asking.
Okay.
The septic thing was what I was wondering about. At what point do you go into how much septic you need or what kind of septic do you need?
Well, once we hopefully get the favorable conditional use permit, then I've already started talking to some folks down here with regards to septic, and then we'd have the area tested to make sure, you know, what is it perk for, and we would move forward from there. So I do understand that that's the next step. I just frankly didn't want to expend the money until we get the conditional use.
Okay. And did I hear you say that these homes would not be built on site, they would be built somewhere and brought in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Ross.
Yes, I'm going to need our council's advice here a little bit, but we have mobile homes fixed for a permanent year. Is that really a campground?
That's a manufactured home park. If it's mobile homes that are there permanently, you're into the manufactured home park requirements, and they're also assessed and treated differently than campgrounds. It's something we're gonna have to work through, because it's when we start talking about permanent structures, you can't have permanent structures in campgrounds. I mean, by code. You can have sort of an accessory structure, but the main camper or tent or whatever has to be not affixed to the ground. So it kind of doesn't almost fall into either category real well.
One thing recently, at least since I've been on the commission, we've been reluctant to approve RV campgrounds or campgrounds where whether they RVs or even mobile campers such as this, stayed in a non-seasonal environment. And the reason for that is because we have some of those that were pre-existing the code, and it's not worked out well. And so, I'm just trying to figure out, if we were to act favorably on this, then how we would maintain that position for other applicants in the future.
It's certainly something to consider, because historically also county council has wrestled with campgrounds that, as you alluded to, that started out truly as campgrounds where people were there seasonally. They'd bring their camper or RV in and they'd haul it out. And then one year, years or decades ago, they'd say, you know what, I'm coming back next year. I'm just going to leave it here, and then they leave it there. And then the next thing they do is they build a porch or deck on it, and then they add a room on it, and it just takes on a permanent character. But it's still a campground. So it technically becomes sort of an illegal use at that point. And frankly, county council has some real concerns about, these are permanent residents and permanent structures that, aren't assessed like everybody else if you're in a manufactured home part, and also, or a single family home or whatever. So there's sort of layers to work through on this.
Ms. Ortiz, I take it that you probably are familiar with the first rule of government and politics, that no matter what they're talking about money.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Just wanted to make sure you were clued into that little element there.
So would there, I guess if it's all about the dollars, which I certainly understand, would there be a, should we put these here permanently, let you assess the little homes? And
well, it's a good deal. It's a good deal more complicated than that. And I think what, if I may jump in, what you have presented us with is something that's new. It's something that probably doesn't fit neatly into any of the little holes that we have right now. And it could be that we need to create some new holes. This is one of the things we're going through right now with our comprehensive land use plan. We're planning for the next 10 years, and it is something that has come up in discussion, that there are new housing types emerging today, and that we need to find a way to deal with them. And I think we probably can. My observation is that this is probably more like a mobile home park than it is a campground, because I think the intention is for there to be year-round use, and that would be the difference. That being said, doesn't mean there isn't a way to do it. Just means we're going to have to figure one out. So, but we're going to continue here. And Mr. Ross, do you have any further questions?
No, I think you did a good job of actually describing my concerns, and I'm just using my brilliant mind to try to figure, you know, how we would noodle through that, and I haven't figured it out just yet. The last application we had, I think, RV park was Massey's Landing that we approved.
Yeah.
And one of the requirements was that those, even the cabins that they had, which were portable, had to be moved and stored in a central location off-site. And it was to avoid this very issue of having miniature mobile home parks. Because we do have a place for mobile home parks in our code. It's GR zone. So I just can't quite get through that door at the moment. But who knows? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We're going to press on. We're not done yet. Ms. Walls, do you have any questions?
I do have one. Lot one, this lot is using an easement to access. Have you had conversations with the owners of lot one about your plans?
Frankly, I have not. The lot one used to be owned by my aunt, and she sold the property and left. So I have not had conversations with, but I'm sure that they received notice of the plan.
Mm-hmm. You understand what you just said. You are proposing a 50-foot easement across somebody else's property, and that you have not.
Actually, I'm not proposing that. That's,
or is it? It's already there. The easement's already there.
That's correct.
Okay, so you already have the right to use it.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, I was not following what you were saying.
No. Okay. It's already deeded.
Okay. Well, then it's not an issue. Then it's your easement to use. Right. Sure. Okay. Great.
Yeah. Thanks. No.
Sorry. I'll catch up here before long. Anything else?
That's all. Thank you,
Mr. Brandon.
I have nothing.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Counselor?
Yeah, just following up on the easement. So, you know, they were subdivided, I assume, although they were large lots, for single-family homes. Is there any limitations within that easement so that that property owner has an expectation it's going to be a home versus?
Actually, it wasn't subdivided like that. This lot here, you'll see,
right.
This A, B, C, and D used to all be part of a street.
Mm-hmm.
Family,
right.
Farm. It was subdivided to the various heirs. My mother's portion was this section here.
Right.
With her siblings. They then subdivided it so that my aunt took B, my mother took this area, and my uncle got the back portion here.
Okay.
So it was not subdivided with, frankly, any thing except for to separate it out for the siblings.
Okay, but there's a recorded easement to go across B to get back to,
yes,
the back. Well, so that, but that's my question is just, and it's something we can find out,
uh-huh,
what that easement said, because if it was just a, you know, blanket easement for access, or, you know, it was pretty broad, it's not an issue. But if it contemplated that the use would be single family versus, you know, the tiny house village.
No, it was just simply a 50-foot,
okay,
ingress,
okay,
egress easement with
no limitations.
Stipulations.
Yeah. And the other thing for the commission's benefit, you know, if you were to act favorably on it, if we could, you know, kind of find a way to make it work, I would suggest consideration of a condition being that there be an on-site resident manager, only because, despite the best intentions, we've seen, and it's over decades, you know, but different examples of small communities like this that evolve into permanent communities, and there's no on-site management, and absentee landlords, And then you get issues with septics and who's going to take care of it or whatever. So, you know, and particularly if, you know, there's neighbors around, that would be a condition to consider, you know, that there would have to be on-site supervision, just so it stays. You know, I don't have any reason to doubt that it would, but,
no,
to, but you know, as a county, we've got to make sure that it stays the way it was presented. Because there's several, even going back to the old camp meeting type things, that's kind of what this is. And there's one that's really nice, and there's a few around that, you know, have turned into permanent enclaves that have a lot of issues with septics and things. So anyway, that's all the questions, comments, statements, whatever I have.
One more quick question,
sure.
just to be clear. The wooded part is part of your lot, correct? In that it says, you know, you've got the tiny house village there, and then it's got like a black
line. Just that little bit, yeah.
Okay, so the back part
this
there.
This back part
yeah.
used to be, was part of this section here.
Is but there an easement that somebody's someday going to claim to try to get to that?
No, because when it was subdivided like this into the B and then to this little lot here, mm-hmm. this portion here went to this portion.
Okay.
Yeah, this C now is all my uncle's, so
okay.
we didn't need the easement to go all the way to the back.
Okay.
That was it.
Okay, anything else? All right, then. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2077, Joy Marshall Ortiz? For anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2077? Yes, yes, sir. Come on. Sir?
In favor, please.
Oh, in favor. I'm sorry. I didn't see you. Come on up. In favor.
Good evening, Pat. My name is Howard Street. I am Joy's cousin, and I'm here as a representative of the family with regard to Joy's proposal for the site. I actually favor what she's presenting, although I did have several questions, which I believe the panel has presented with regard to the units, how they would be constructed, what type of unit it is, how would you differentiate between the units as she's described, for it being what she is describing versus a trailer RV, and then the reservation that I have with regard to my approval is, if it is approved, how would it be maintained such that it would not be a trailer park particularly? And it seems like you guys have raised those questions that I was curious about, but I think it's a nice concept.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? In favor. Okay. Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Okay. You didn't sit down yet, so you can come back.
You're still on.
Once you sit down, you're done.
Of particular interest as well is the fact that my side of the family, which is Joy's uncle, we also have a parcel, which is D, which is two sites over from where Joy is proposing. And we, at some point, wish to develop ours as well. We have had some consideration with regard to doing either a mobile-type home kind of setup, not necessarily a park, where we would have some place to come ourselves from home to relax over the weekend or for an extended stay. With an approval as such for her, it seems that it would just make way for us to be able to facilitate doing whatever we may.
I wouldn't count on that. I appreciate you teeing us up, but I'm going to have to stop you there simply because this public hearing is limited to just this application.
Sure.
So, but I appreciate your comments, and we look forward to seeing you at some point in the future. Okay. Anyone who wished to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Whoa!
Gentleman,
where? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Come on up. Come on up. In opposition or in favor?
Opposition.
Opposition, okay, great. I'm sorry, I missed you.
Good evening. My name is Richard Owens. Excuse my appearance here this evening. My wife was supposed to be here.
Well, I'm sure she's better looking than you are, but I think you're doing a fine job.
I'm going to be nervous.
No, don't worry about it.
We just purchased the property, the home there off Cordry, down a little, that home right there. We just purchased that 4 acres there.
Mm-hmm.
She had some real concerns because the easement, I guess, she was talking about.
Yes, yeah.
That would go right to our driveway, right past our home.
Mm-hmm.
And, we had questions as to the traffic, the demographic of people who she, offered to come into this particular area. We weren't sure if it's a group type, later on, can you get groups there to come in and, Lord knows what's going to go on with that.
Mm-hmm.
She was really also concerned too that there's another on, the east side of our property, there's another, I think, easement there where the black line, right there. There's another easement on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were granted, can they, because we've actually going to put a road through there or make access back to that area. And we were wondering if they could use that side as opposed to coming directly by our home. I think she wanted to ask to, you all to answer a lot of our questions, that since this is going to be year round, what did they have idea as to with that many units, especially in the summertime?
How many units? Is that your question?
10 to
12, it looked like.
12 it was.
12, yeah.
The amount of traffic that would be. Of course, someone knows.
Well, 12 units, probably at least 12 vehicles, I would suspect.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we had really reservations as to, especially when it being, like I said, our driveway is part of that easement.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just really had concerns with the amount of traffic. So.
Okay. Well, we'll take that under advisement. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Any further questions? All right, then we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.